Now please turn with me in your Bibles to the passage we read a little earlier, 1 Samuel and chapter 21. For some weeks now we've been studying this book of 1 Samuel, and we've come to chapter 21 today, 1 Samuel and chapter 21. The life of David, like most people's lives, fell in stages. In other words, when you look at his entire life, you can identify various phases and you can say, well, this was a phase when David was doing this, and then his life changed completely and entered a new phase and he was doing this, and then it changed completely again and entered a new phase, and so on. And chapter 21 marks the beginning of the third phase of David's life. The first phase, we could say, was the time when he was a shepherd boy. And we know very, very little about his life at that point, except those flashbacks when he talks about how he fought off a bear and a lion and so on. But we really know very little about those early years. And then came the phase when Saul called him into his service. David had come to Saul's attention because David had taken provisions for his brothers when they were facing the Philistines. And you remember there was this battle when Goliath stood and challenged the Israelites and said, instead of the two nations meeting for war, why doesn't one man come and we will be the representatives? And so David went and slayed Goliath, came to Saul's attention, and we read in that passage from that time, he entered into Saul's service. Now this was a difficult period for David. Saul knew that God had rejected him as king. And Saul obviously knew that David was the one whom God had chosen. And Saul was filled with rage and with jealousy and tried to kill David. So that was the second phase. We now enter a third phase of David's life where he actually flees from Saul, and for the next few years, we don't know exactly how many, but for the next few years, he and his men are now going to wander in the wilderness. They're not in Saul's service, but they're actually on the run from Saul. And for the next few passages, as we read David's life, we find that he's on the run and Saul chases after him, seeking to kill him. And it's an interesting phase in David's life, and it's an important phase for us as Christians. These events that we're reading about, they happened some 3,000 years ago. And we may, when we first read them, we may wonder, well, events that happened 3,000 years ago, what have they to teach me in Clevedon in 2017? But of course, there are these lessons in that David now faces trials and temptations in his Christian life. That's what's happening here. He's now in a phase where these trials have come upon him and temptations come upon him. And how does David handle these trials and temptations? And you remember the words that his own son wrote when he said, there is nothing new under the sun. What has been will happen again. You know, Solomon wrote these words in the book of Ecclesiastes. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon says that so much of our lives is really rather circular. Now, he's not saying history is circular. History is working its way towards a given point. But so many things in life are like that. They happen to somebody and the person goes through an experience and then somebody else goes really much through the same thing. And so we look at these things and we say, we, like David, are God's people. And we, like David, are seeking to live lives to the glory of God. We, like David, love our God. We may not be able to express our love in the same eloquent way that he did in the Psalms, but when we read the Psalms, we relate to the Psalms. And we don't just relate to the Psalms, we speak about David's difficulties. When David speaks words of love, there's something in our hearts. And we say, yes, this is my love for my God. He's written it really well. He's expressed how I feel about my God when he speaks about how he loves the Lord and how he trusts in the Lord and how he seeks to honor the Lord. And we say, that's it, David. That's what I want to do. So we relate with David. And as David faces trials and David faces temptations in his life, we relate to that. And we say, well, we're not on the run from King Saul. And we're not in the deserts of Judea and in En-Gedi and places like this. Places really mean very little to us. But we have difficulties in our own lives. We face bewildering situations. We find ourselves sometimes suddenly thrust into a situation that looks so difficult and so different to what it did just a few months ago. I think that was David's experience. I think there he was as a shepherd boy, and life was going on quite well, and suddenly Samuel turns up, anoints him as king, and before he knows it, very suddenly, and in a short period of time, his life has moved into a second phase, and it's dramatic, it's very different. He's now in Saul's service, and Saul is hurling spears at him. And then quite suddenly, he's now moved from being in Saul's service to running in the wilderness, in the deserts of Judea, with an army of men. Now, this is a very new experience to him. He's never commanded men before. He's not been on the run before. And yet, he works his way through these trials. So he finds himself in these bewildering, difficult situations. And we can all relate to that. And we can all say, yes, the Christian life is a life of great blessing. And the Christian life is a wonderful life because God is good to us and God is gracious to us and God loves us and God's love is ever upon us and Christ is our Savior and our High Priest and the Holy Spirit, the Comforter of God, lives in us. But that doesn't mean there are no difficulties in life. We face enormous difficulties. So over the next few weeks, as we look at David on the run from Saul, we will learn, I trust, lessons from him that will be of help to us in our own Christian lives. Now, this evening then, I want to look at chapter 21, and I want us to see three things from this passage, which I trust will be of great help to us. I've entitled it, Trials and Temptations in the Christian Life. I want us to see three things about David which I trust will be of help to us. Here are these trials that have come upon David. What does David do? Well, I want us to notice in the first place, when these trials came upon David, I want us to notice in the first place that David sought the Lord. David sought the Lord. Now let me tell you why I think this is what's happening. You know that chapter 20, which we looked at last time, it has become clear that Saul is David's enemy. The gloves are off and the battle is on. Saul has made it clear to Jonathan that he hates David. And Saul has made it clear to Jonathan that he wants to kill David. There is now no pretense. There is no hypocrisy here. Saul has come out in the open. I hate this man and I want to kill him. So David now knows exactly where he stands and David goes on the run. And it says straight away in verse 1 of chapter 21, then David came to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest. Why? Why, when he's on the run from Saul, why does he come to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest? Now I know that the passage in chapter 21 speaks about bread and a sword. But in chapter 22, which we will look at next time, there is a verse which I think tells us why he went to Nob, to Ahimelech. I want us just to look at chapter 22 and verses 9 and 10. This is David's enemy, Doeg the Edomite, talking to Saul. And it says there in chapter 22, verse 9, then answered Doeg the Edomite, who stood by the servants of Saul, I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob, to Ahimelech the son of Ahitub, and he inquired of the Lord for him and gave him provisions and gave him the sword of Goliath the Philistine. That is what Doeg the Edomite saw when David came to Nob to the priest. Three things Doeg said happened when David came to the priest. Firstly, the priest inquired of the Lord for David. And then he provided him with provisions. And then he gave him a sword. And I think that is supported by what we read in verse 10 of chapter 21. I wonder if we've ever realized what a remarkable verse 10 of chapter 21 is. It says, "And David rose and fled that day from Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath." Now, if you think about it, this is a very strange thing to do. The Philistines are the sworn enemies of the Israelites. And if there is one Israelite whom every Philistine has a reason to hate with a murderous hatred, it's David who killed Goliath. Because you remember in that battle, which was the last battle between the two nations, probably just a few months earlier, in that battle, the two men were the representatives. Goliath was the representative of the Philistines, and David was the representative of the Israelites, and David slew Goliath, and then the Israelites won a great victory over the Philistines, and the Philistines fled. So the Philistines' defeat was down to one man, David, who killed Goliath. And the Philistines know that David has been anointed king, and they know that he's highly popular among the Jewish people, among the Israelites. Because in verse 11 of chapter 21, the servants of Achish said to him, "Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing to one another of him in dances? Saul has struck down his thousands and David his 10,000s." So on the surface, this is a very strange thing for David to do, to go into the camp of the enemy in a very weakened condition. He hasn't gone with a huge army well equipped. He hasn't gone in a position of strength. He's in a position of weakness. He's got few men, he's got few provisions, he's got few armaments, and in this position of weakness, he goes straight into the camp of the enemy. And I think the reason is because the priest, Ahimelech, inquired of the Lord. And however incredible it sounds, I think he said to him, "Go to Gath and God will protect you there." That's at least how I see it. And actually, I'm not the only one. The commentators noticed this. What a strange thing it was for him to go there. And it seems this is direction from the Lord. So you see, this is what David does in the first place. He's in a crisis situation. Saul is now his openly declared enemy. And Saul has decided he must die. And Saul has decided to use his resources to put an end to David's life. And David goes straight to the priest and inquires of the Lord. David doesn't say to himself, "Well, I must now sit down and think through this and decide in my own wisdom and decide using my my own experience, my own common sense, my own intelligence, what must I do?" David says, "Well, there's a crisis here. I have an enemy here. I'm facing death here. There are difficulties. I go to seek the Lord. I go and inquire of the Lord. And I see what the Lord says." And as I say, I think the direction, "Go to Gath," came from that. And it's a great lesson for us. Because as you know, the times when we face our greatest crises, the time when life seems to fall apart and we're in a bewildering situation, and like David, suddenly from being in a position where things seem to be going okay, we suddenly find ourselves in a crisis, humanly speaking, the last thing you think of is, I wonder what the Lord would say in this passage, in this situation. I wonder what the Lord would have me do. This is how we're inclined to think. Well, I'd better think through this. And that's a good thing. I'm not saying we mustn't sit down and calmly try and take stock of the situation and think through it. But I think we need to remember that the Word of God has been given to us, and the Word of God has been given to guide us through every situation in life. And do you know, speaking as a pastor, you often have cause to remember this. If only people had thought about the Scriptures. Somebody comes and sees you and says, my life is falling to pieces, and this has happened, and this has happened. And they talk to you about how over a number of months, or even a number of years, there has been a pattern of behavior, and things have come to a certain point. And you look back and you think, if only all those years ago, you had opened the Scriptures. If only those years ago, those months ago, you had read what God says in His Word. And if only those years ago, you would have prayed about this. You had gone to the Lord in prayer. And you would have said, Lord, I know what Your Word says. And I want to do what Your Word says. And will You please give me the ability, give me the strength, the courage required, that I may do what Your Word says. Because God guides us in every area of our lives. And we so often forget this. How important it is for us to know the Scriptures. I think one of the great weaknesses of the evangelical world today, we really don't know our Scriptures well enough. And a situation comes, and there are principles laid out in Scripture. There are passages in Scripture, in the Psalms, or in the lives of the saints, in the Old Testament or the New Testament. Passages in the epistles. And they actually speak to us. They may not at first sight be saying anything, but when we actually examine them carefully, they are speaking to our very situation. And we really don't know our Scriptures well enough to be able to bring those passages and apply them. Well, can I encourage you? Why not daily read the Scriptures? Why not memorize Scriptures? Why not get to know the Word of God? Why not soak yourself in the Scripture? And then whatever the situation comes up, you can say to yourself, now there is a word from God that will guide me in this. And you can bring that up and read it and study it and seek to follow it. David inquired of the Lord. This was his habit. You read the Psalms, the number of times he prays to God. In the coming passages, we'll read about how he fled from Saul. And there are these Psalms, and it says, this Psalm was written when David was fleeing from Saul in the Judean desert, or at En-Gedi, or something like this. And David is in prayer. David is seeking the Lord. And then David becomes king. Now, he doesn't think of that time, that when the next phase in his life comes and he is now king. He doesn't think, well, things are going well for me now. I don't need the Lord anymore. You find him consulting Nathan the prophet, because he knows he must inquire of the Lord. So the first thing then, David, in this time when trials have come upon him, David sought the Lord. But there's a second thing in this passage, and I want us to look at that as well. I want us to notice in the second place then, that not only did David seek the Lord, but sadly, David fell into unbiblical behavior. David fell into unbiblical behavior. I must admit, when I was preparing this sermon, I was very, very hesitant to make this point. I honestly don't like being critical of anybody. And I certainly don't like being critical of God's people in the Scripture. But every commentator, and there is no exception, that I consulted, made the point that David did fall into unbiblical behavior. And the most gracious commentator I've ever read is Matthew Henry. And Matthew Henry comes out with this and says, we've got to face up to it. There is unbiblical behavior here. It happens twice. In the first place, he doesn't tell the truth when he goes to see Ahimelech the priest. When David goes there, Ahimelech comes to meet him, trembling, because he knows there's this enmity between David and Saul. And he knows that the king, who is very powerful, is David's enemy. And he says to David, verse 1, "Why are you alone and no one with you?" And David said to Ahimelech the priest, "The king has charged me with a matter and said to me, 'Let no one know anything of the matter about which I send you and with which I have charged you.'" That's not true, because there is no record of it. And then secondly, when he leaves Ahimelech and goes to Gath, and we find that when the servants of Achish speak about David, this is verse 11, and they say, "Is not this David the king of the land? And do they not sing about him? Saul has struck down his thousands, and David his tens of thousands." So it says David took these words to heart and was very much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So he changed his behavior before them and pretended to be insane in their hands and made marks on the doors of the gate and let spittle run down his beard. He pretended, and that word is very clear, it was not the case, this was deception. So he deceives Ahimelech and he seeks to deceive Achish, king of Gath. Now, the scripture is very honest about this. This is one of the wonderful things about the Bible. The Bible doesn't whitewash anybody. It doesn't sanitize anybody's life. When Abraham has a child with Hagar, the Bible tells us about it. When Moses strikes the rock instead of speaking to it, the Bible records it. When Joshua doesn't inquire of the Lord when the Gibeonites come and speak to him, the Bible tells us that. It says very clearly, in all these things, Joshua did not inquire of the Lord. When David speaks untruths to Ahimelech and deceives Achish, it reveals it to us. Later, as king, when David falls into the sin of adultery and murder, the Bible speaks about it. And in the New Testament, when Peter denies the Lord three times, the Bible speaks about it. And it is there for our warning. It is there to tell us that we as Christians, yes, we are born again. And yes, we love the Lord. And yes, the Holy Spirit of God lives in us. And yes, He directs us and sanctifies us daily. But we still have sin in us. And we're still liable to fall into sin. And it's even a greater reminder of the fear of men. How quickly we fall into the fear of men. And because of the fear of men, we fall into sin. And David's sins are recorded as a warning to God's people. And God is speaking to His people in this passage. And God is saying to His people, now when you come to a difficult time in your life, when things suddenly become very difficult, and you're facing trials, and you're facing difficulties, and there's a crisis, be very, very careful. Be extra careful. Because then you are liable to fall into unbiblical forms of behavior. Now, you know this phrase, and I've chosen it deliberately, unbiblical behavior. Because unbiblical behavior can be seen in different ways. You know, a complaining spirit is unbiblical behavior. We may not think of it like that. We may say, well, it's not as if I've told lies. It's not as if I've committed adultery. It's not as if I've denied Christ three times. But even complaining and moaning and complaining before the Lord. Do you know when you read the book of Numbers? The book of Numbers is the history of the people of Israel in the wilderness. They've come out of Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt. And God has graciously redeemed them and brought them out of Egypt. And they're now at the beginning of their journey to the promised land. And the book of Numbers records that whole journey from leaving Egypt until the time they enter the promised land. It's that long, or nearly the time, it's this long journey. And the first sin that God judges is the sin of murmuring and complaining. they come out of Egypt and then they get bored with the food that they're given. And they get fed up with life in the wilderness. And they start murmuring and complaining. And God doesn't take it lightly. God visits them in judgment. Because murmuring and complaining is a sin against God. Do you know that just feeling low all the time and allowing yourself to just feel low and sad and depressed. Now, I'm not saying that we must never do that and must always be cheerful and always happy and so on. Believe me, brethren, I know what it's like to feel very low and very sad and very depressed. But to go through life like that and to allow our trials to make us low all the time, do you know that's not right either? We are to rejoice in the Lord. And you know, Paul again and again writes that to the Philippians. And even in our trials, we are to rejoice in the Lord. We are to look for the positive. Or to become anxious. Again, that's unbiblical behavior. Now, I'm not just condemning all people and all sin. But I am saying this, that we have to be very, very careful. Because there are forms of behavior which we may not identify as displeasing to God or unbiblical, and yet they are. And the Bible says to us, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Now, I know we fall into anxiety. In fact, that's why the words were written. God knows us. And the Lord knows that when we face trials, we're bound to become anxious. And that's why Paul wrote those words to the Philippians. He knew they were prone to anxiety. And so he says to them, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, with prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Now, we can't therefore allow ourselves to remain in anxiety, to be constantly anxious about a certain matter, and to say, well, this is how it is, life is full of trials, and I'm anxious, and I'm always low, and I'm sad. Yes, we go through phases and periods like that, but actually, to just wallow in that is unbiblical. And here is a warning from David's life, that when God's people face crises and difficult situations, they can stray into unbiblical forms of behavior. David does that here. He's under pressure and he falls into unbiblical behavior. Brethren, let's take lessons from him and let us learn that these trials and these temptations are there. So David sought the Lord and David sadly fell into unbiblical behavior. But there's a third thing in this passage. And it is this, that David applies the scripture to his situation. He applies the scriptures to his situation. And the reason I make this point is because you know that the Lord Jesus speaks about this situation. You know that in Mark's Gospel chapter 2, when people challenged Jesus about how his disciples were using the Sabbath, because they'd gone through these grain fields and had plucked corns of grain or ears of grain. And they say to him, well, it's the Sabbath. And Jesus used this. And Jesus said, don't you know that when David went to the priest and there was the bread of presence, that was the only bread available. Well, David didn't say, oh, it's the bread of presence, you know. It's holy bread. We can't eat this. We'd better starve. You see, David applied the spirit of the scriptures. And David knew that human life is more important than the bread of the presence. Yes, the bread of the presence is important, but that's more of a ritual where human life is holy because God created human life. And so Jesus applied it to his disciples and he said they were hungry. And yes, it's Sabbath, but if man is hungry, man uses his common sense and says, surely in God's eyes, human life matters more. So David is able to apply the scriptures and not allow what we might call legalism to then stand in his way. Now, this is an important principle, because this is how the Bible works. You know, the Bible will never say to you, when your boss shouts at you and it's unfair, do this. It doesn't say that, does it? When your next door neighbor drives against in front of your driveway and blocks your car, then do this. Those sort of instructions you don't find in the Bible. You know, if you want instructions at that level, I'm afraid you have to go to the Islamic scriptures, because the hadith, the Islamic scriptures, they don't address everything, but that's the kind of thing they address. What the Bible does is that it sets before us certain principles. And the Bible says there is a principle as to how you are to live the Christian life. And you take those principles and you apply them. You use your mind. Don't become lazy, is what the scriptures is saying. Don't just expect easy answers to everything. You have to work at living the Christian life. You have to work at reading the scriptures and knowing the scriptures and then applying the scriptures. There's a beautiful illustration of this in the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Because the Corinthians have written to Paul, and they've asked him certain questions. And they've said to Paul, now look, Paul, our next door neighbors who are idolaters and who offer food to their idols are inviting us round for a meal. Should we go? Should we eat this food that is being offered to idols? Now, if you read the passage carefully, Paul doesn't say, by all means go, and he doesn't say, don't go. What Paul does is write in that passage the principles and says to them, now you apply them to your particular situation. You do the work. Don't expect all the easy answers. You're expected to do some work with the scriptures. You're expected to take the principles that are laid in the scriptures and to then apply them to the situation that you find yourself in. What do you do when your boss shouts at you? Well, it says, for example, a gentle answer turns away wrath. And it says, be gracious to all. Let your godliness be known to all. The Lord is at hand. And be like shining stars in a dark world. So you take those scriptures and you say, how do I live my life so that even in this situation where my neighbor has parked across my driveway or my boss is shouting at me and it's all unjust and I'm being treated unfairly here, how do I behave? How do I do that which pleases God, which represents God, which makes me an ambassador for Christ? How can I make sure I'm gracious and kind even to the man who's shouting unjustly at me? We are to take the scriptures and we are to apply them. And this is what David does. Now in the coming passages, we will see this again and again. David actually doesn't fall into unbiblical behavior until he becomes king. Then sadly he fell into adultery. But in his confrontations with Saul in the coming passages, there are opportunities he had to kill Saul. And he knows, no, you don't do that. Although he is the king who has been anointed by God and Saul has been rejected, he has no right to take human life in that particular situation. So he doesn't. And he applies the scriptures and he thinks to himself, well, should I kill this man and become king? That doesn't sound right. He's not going to do it. If God wants me to be king, he will make me king. So David applies the scriptures to his situation. Well, these are lessons we learn from David in the trials that he faced in his life. He sought the Lord. He fell into unbiblical behavior, but he did think about the scriptures and applied them. May the Lord help us to do that. Let's come to him in prayer, then let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is so honest with us. And thank you that we learn lessons from your servants of the past. Help us, Lord, to learn these lessons, we pray, to live by them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.